Are you shocked by the lyrics of Walk on the Wild Side, mortally offended by Brown Sugar, or outraged by Oliver's Army? Well, while some songs have faced a major backlash in recent years for their outdated lyrics, artists themselves are now deciding to cancel some of their own greatest hits. Well, I'm joined now by Simon Marr from 8radio.com, who has been scrutinising the back catalogues of some of the world's most famous artists. And we're going to start with this one. So, Simon, some artists are being cancelled or their music is being cancelled, and others are taking a second look at their own work. Like in that case, Elvis Costello, he's uncomfortable, he says, with some of his own lyrics from that track, Oliver's Army.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Claire, because it's people are becoming uncomfortable. But even in Elvis Costello's case, he's become uncomfortable 45 odd years after the track was ever released. But Oliver's Army was released in 1979. It's a song about the Northern Ireland conflict, and it uses a particular term to refer to soldiers in the British Army. And he says himself that the song is very much of its time, but he doesn't like the use of the word, and he doesn't want people to be thinking that he has said something that he didn't intend to say.
It's a tricky one, though, isn't it? Because the track is meant to be ironic. It's a political song, as you say, about the troubles in Northern Ireland, and it was inspired by him going to Belfast and seeing British soldiers patrolling the streets. And yet now he has decided in 2022 it doesn't come up to scratch.
And it's one of those interesting ones, because this controversy has come in phases, because the song was released and played from 79 to about 2013. And every so often somebody would comment about it. But in 2013, the BBC censored the particular offensive term that was in there. And he got into quite a strop at that stage and said, I'm not sure I want the song played in an edited form. But then it continued on, and most other broadcasters and radio stations and everybody has played it ever since. And it's only now in much more recent times that it's come back up again. And he said, now I think it's time for you to stop playing it. I want you to stop playing it. But there's a question as to whether it's for sort of the reasons of political correctness or just that he's bored of it because it's not necessarily what he wants to be remembered for.
OK, and the song hasn't dropped off playlists at all, has it? I mean, he's asked, but doesn't mean that radio stations and streaming services have to comply.
Oh, absolutely not. And that's the thing. And I went and I checked when he was putting this piece together, checked with a couple of music directors and radio stations, and I checked in all the streaming services to see had it been withdrawn. And it's still being played and it's still on all the streaming services. And no music director I talked to has any intention of removing the song.
Has he said, by the way, that he's sick of it, the song?
He said that this is not what he wants to be remembered. He said if he got hit by a bus that they'd play She, A Good Year for the Roses and Oliver's Army. He says Oliver's Army is not his favourite song that he's written, and the other two songs that would be played in his memory, he didn't write at all. So I think he really just wants people to move on and listen to other songs that he's written over the years.
Okay, well, that's a whole other debate about legacy and do you get to choose your own legacy? Another one is Brown Sugar by the Rolling Stones, which Mick Jagger has said he wouldn't have written today. Let's have a listen to that. I mean, that's about slavery, but it's not the slavery that might initially spring to mind.
Yeah, well, it's built around the topic of slavery, but an awful lot of what the song goes into as it goes on further past that first verse is into a more nocturnal version of slavery, let's say, and some of the activities that the Rolling Stones and a lot of rock and rollers were up to in that sort of late 60s, early 70s sort of a period. But it definitely has made them feel uncomfortable. And they made a decision then, we're really not going to play the song. But Keith Richards came out and said very much, look, this isn't, we're not going to play the song, but not for the reasons that people are giving out about the song about.
OK, what does that mean?
Well, that means... I think he was trying to find different ways of saying, well, yeah, slavery really shouldn't be the big thing that you're worried about when it comes to Brown Sugar. There are many more dubious practices that we were involved in and that we're singing about in here. Perhaps we should feel uncomfortable with, but we don't.
Mick Jagger then, as far back as 1995, raised issues with it, didn't he, himself?
He did. Yeah, he did. He said, I would never write the song now. He said, it's very much a song of its time, but he'd never write it now. And he said, look, I'm just uncomfortable with it. And I think that's probably, that's very reasonable. And perhaps just with the passage of time, or as you get older, it's the sort of things that you feel comfortable to be singing about. But he says himself as well, he said, look, it's not, again, for the reasons that it was being complained about, it really is just that he was, by the time, by 1995, Mick Jagger was probably, what, in his 60s at least. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he wanted to be singing about that anymore.
The Rolling Stones, though, all about excess as a band, but they have some other songs like Under My Thumb, equally problematic. Yeah. And I'm not sure that they were attempting to make a political point with that one either.
No. There was a lot of Rolling Stones tracks from around about that time, and even the Rolling Stones music videos and some of the documentary footage and everything of the time was very much documenting what they were up to and what they did, and perhaps what they thought at the time. And I think now, with us looking at the prism back from sort of 2022, looking back at some of that, some of it's at least, at best, you could call it a little bit dubious.
Another track that has prompted a lot of debate in recent years is this one.
Said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side, and the colored girls go doo 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 doo.
Quite apart from the lyrics, I just love the melody of that song, I always have. A word is used in there that simply isn't used anymore. But before we get to that, there was an attempt to get that song cancelled for being transphobic.
And this was the thing, is that at the time, and again, I think Lou Reed was, and as many songwriters and performers are, is that they're very surprised about the things that songs are cancelled about. And the fact that it was, that they were trying to cancel the track on the basis of it being transphobic. It's all about a group of trans women in New York, Holly, Candy, Little Joe, Sugarplum Fairy, Jackie, who all hung around as part of Andy Warhol's scene. And Lou Reed was a huge fan of these people, and he was writing much of the song in tribute to them. And what really sort of, I suppose, stopped the furore around that part of the song was that some of those, some of the trans women came out and said, we love this. This is about us. How many of us have had a song written about us with love by Lou Reed?
Mm-hmm. And then the other part of the song that I referred to there continues to attract controversy, where he references coloured girls, and that term would simply never be used anymore. But is that reason to play a more sanitised version, or do you put up with it and listen to it in the context of its time?
I think this is the thing, and in fairness to Lou Reed, I think he had said himself, what he was trying to do all the time was he was trying to be inclusive, and he was trying to not be offensive. And the word at the time when Walk in the Wild Side was written was that you would say the coloured girls, and that was just what was done then. Later on, there was a couple of attempts. There's been many sort of interpretations of the song, and they've used different words instead of it, but it is very much of its time, and he really was trying to be as inclusive as possible.
All right, well, we can't talk about songs that were of its time and not play this next one. Tammy Wynette was getting flack for that song since she released it in 1968.
Yeah, and it's interesting because when you were talking earlier on about people and their musical legacies, everybody thought that Tammy Wynette's musical legacy was going to be D-I-V-O-R-C-E, was another one of her songs, but it turns out that Stand By Your Man was the one that took it. And she still performs it now, and it's one of the most covered songs in musical history. But she could grieve over it, as I think particularly after Hillary Clinton quoted it when she was talking about Bill Clinton by saying, you know, I'm not sitting here some little woman standing by my man like Tammy Wynette. But Tammy Wynette says, look, it's about forgiving your man's foibles, but definitely not anything more serious than that. And she even said herself, she said, well, when it came to Hillary, I would have had something different to say, perhaps a different song.
Okay, so look, we're talking about artists who go back and look at their work and go, oh, not quite comfortable with that in 2022. But Madonna and Like a Virgin, that song, she's just fed up of it. She's sick of it, isn't she? Is that what's going on there?
I think so, yeah, because when you think you're going back to the early 80s for Madonna's Like a Virgin, and I think she just, like so many artists, just got tired of it, you know, and just, again, it just felt wrong to be singing it. But what's amazing about so many of these things is that people who insist, I insist there's no way I can sing this song again, so that I can't ever do it again, unless somebody paid me like $30 million or something. And then somebody did, and then she did sing it again. So the principle stand fell at the first wallet.
You don't really get to do that, do you? You don't get to look back in your career and cherry pick the things that you like, or cherry pick the songs that you're not sick of and carry those through.
Exactly. I think you get to decide what it is that you want to perform. So when it comes to a live gig or whatever, you can decide, okay, I'm going to do a different interpretation of this song, or I'm not going to play this song at all. But if people like it, and when people put on a song, you know, and it forms part of their history, which is where music comes from, then you really can't stop that.
Simon, good to talk to you. Thank you very much. Simon Marr from 8 Radio there. Let's go to the newsroom now at 11 o'clock and to Brian Jennings.